can I invite you to, I think this is going to be our whole group. So come on up here and we'll start. This is Karen. I'm guessing this is going to be it. Keith and I were laughing when we were up there talking because and Caleb's going to join us too. He's our sound person, which he said to me, do you need a microphone? I went, really? Listen to me, right? No, I don't need a microphone. I'm loud. And so he gave me one anyway, but this is for a recording, which it's way too many words already, right? This is fantastic. When Keith and I were listening up there to people talking, we're both like, nobody's going to come to ours, and I really want to go to, like, take in all these So, and it's real interesting, this thing you have that goes all the way through you when you're like, I'm going to do a seminar at Mount Hermon, even though this is something that I've done a whole bunch of times. It still is, there's something that kind of goes, whoa. So anyway, there it is. Karen, Kelly, Anya, Michael, and Melissa. And I love, even just in this tiny little bit of interaction, how that God has already orchestrated connections with us. Good morning. Here you go. I'm glad you're here. And you can't go too far back. Second row, right there, because here we are. We have a small group. Do we have to have 10 to have a small group? Can we be considered a small group? All right, we got 7. We're golden. And so, okay, we did. Hey, Caleb, let me give you one of these. If you're going to hang in here and listen, might as well follow along with that. This is Caleb.
Hi, Caleb.
Hi. And tell me your name. I'm glad you're...
Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm glad you're here. It's okay. I'm glad. It's great. So... God just blessed me in a really amazing way that I'm going to share with you right now. Melissa and Michael, who I had not met until just this moment, but we have a fantastic connection. And it ties in with how God held us back and then now pulled that log jam out. Do you love this picture on the front of the log jam, right? Have you all felt like this at some time? And then, or right now, for instance, right now, and in big ways and small ways, and how is he going to pull that out? Get that log jam broken. Well, God did an amazing thing for my family. I can't even... for my family and for the Hansen family in what he did right here for all of us at Mount Hermon. They were coming home. This is my version of it, and you guys can correct me. They were coming home from the mission field in Mexico. God had reassigned them here to Santa Cruz. They didn't know where they were going to be, but they knew that God had called them back here to Santa Cruz to do a ministry. My family had a cabin that we've had for... 40 years, that my dad had died, and we needed to not keep the cabin anymore. And so my brothers and my sister and I, we've prayed and said, okay, Lord, we believe that you want to bless somebody with this place, just as you have continued to bless our family with this. And God, through his amazing way of doing things, and through Bill Cree, who has been at Mount Hermon forever, provided that home for Melissa and Michael to be in, and it blessed us, it blessed them, and continues with results continuing in this Santa Cruz area. They are a fantastic addition to the Mount Hermon community and for what God's doing through them here. So... Yeah, which is fabulous. Yeah. Welcome. Hi. What's your name?
Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Good to have you here. Okay. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have brought each one of us here
Thank you for the things that you are up to in our lives. We know that you you saved us by your grace, and then you have fantastic things that you have planned in advance for us to do. And so we'd ask that as we come to those things that you have for us to do and we get stuck along the way, that you would open up that logjam. And we know that you walk with us through that. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing care for us. And we are blessed to be your children, Holy Father. Thank you. Amen. Okay, pardon me while I be totally emotional about this. That this seminar, let's start here. Where are you stuck? What's holding you back? It can be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, logistical, stick an all on the end of it. It can be, as our two seniors in high school right here are figuring out what they do with this last year of high school and the next year beyond that, where do I go to college, right? Your kids are figuring that out. Caleb's figured that out, but then he's like, okay, but now I'm getting to the midpoint, and then what am I gonna do? And what does God want me to do in the community where I live? And Karen is transitioning because all of life, in every phase of life, we're in some kind of a transition, right? And we get stuck always as we're going through it. Hi, welcome. Tell me your name.
I'm Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. I'm glad you're here. I'm Margaret. So let me tell you about how this workshop. So sometimes there's easy things where we get stuck. So like I had a hard time getting going on this workshop this time. I've done it before, but it needed to be reworked. The beginning of it was really sloppy and messy and it needed a bunch of work. So that was, you know, it was hard to sit down and do it, but it wasn't, you know, like earth-shattering, right? And then there's other stuff that's harder, like figuring out how to take a home that's been in your family for 40 years and how do you transition it, right? That's a really difficult transition and it doesn't happen in a day. Or at my point of life, my husband is going to retire within, and Anya's going, whoa. Anya and I are from the same church. And my husband has been pastor there for 30 years. So how do we look at this next stage of life? What's that going to look like? Well, that's not going to get solved in a day. It's just not. So those things, but our foundation is what he shared this morning. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He saved us, and then he said, I got good stuff for you to do. Let's keep going. And then he shows us that all the way along the way. So what are some things? Let's put some practical things down here. Things that you're comfortable to share of, because we'll use these and work on it. We have a small enough group here, which is so fantastic, that we actually, I won't be like this, like motor mouth the entire time, even though I can do that. Right, Andrea? Anya? Sorry. Okay. Something that I can write down here. You write your own down of what's holding you back. Is there anything you can share? No, that was the wrong way to ask the question. What can you share? Where are you stuck? What's holding you back? Schedule of life, three teenagers, full-time work. Kelly? Awesome. Fear of unfamiliar situations, people, process, how is this all going to fill in the blank? What else? Fear of And I know that this is like not exciting, but just for the record, just so you can know, that just is with us our entire life. I'm a touch older than you, Anya, and it's still there. What else? Oh, Patrick, right? Yeah. Andrea, say it again. Actually, this is fantastic because that's the first thing that we're going to talk about. Starting points and what to do. What else? And we don't want to fall into, we don't want to live, we don't want to get stuck in the paralysis of analysis, because that is such an easy place to live. Well, there's all these good things, and I could do this, or I could do this, and I can do this, and I could do it. Where shall I start? What shall I do? What's the logjam? Well, let's start with just a few foundational things to build on. These are not in that. It's not our diagnostic tool. Let me just like make a couple observations. We basically figure things out in one of two ways and a combination of both of these, okay? One is from new information and knowledge that we take in, okay? That's one way. And the other way, I mean, just simply new information and new knowledge that we take in. And the other is from reworking the knowledge that we already have. Those buckets of knowledge that we gain over time. When my son was 5, he said, "Mom, are we gonna front into the driveway? Because we back out, so obviously you should front in, right?" So it's that words, well, he didn't have other words for that. He was just taking everything that he knew. You back out, so you must front in, right? And we do that all our lives. With small children, we hear it in their conversation. We have our 3-year-old granddaughter with us this week. Well, she knows her way to childcare, and she asked me this morning, she said, "Is Ella, who is Anya's sister, does she go to in that door and I go in this door?" Well, Ella goes to day camp, but she's sorting that out. And now that she's been down there one time, tomorrow she'll tell me, "I'll go by myself. You don't need to come with me, Grandma," because she knows. So she's taking the knowledge that she's gained and reworking it to use it. And we do that all the time. So basically, those are the two ways that we put things together. And the really, and then there's the, you know, there's a whole spectrum of all of that. How do we figure things out then? And that's where it's difficult. And God is alive in all of it. That's a foundational piece. That's what he shared this morning. God is alive in all of Leah's trouble. God was right there with her. It wasn't lost on him. Whatever transition you're going through, whatever struggle, God is there in it. And he made you the expert in your life. Oh, he didn't make me the expert in your life. What I want to do is create thinking space to help you sort out those things of what are those great things that he has planned for you. And then the Holy Spirit, right? Because he's right there catapulting us. It's interesting too, Caleb and I were chatting beforehand about connecting. So Caleb is in college at George Fox College. And in the college, at college, you're basically with people your own age. Yes, he goes to a small enough college that you probably know a lot of the professors and maybe have been in their homes, maybe not. But, you know, you're in Newburgh. It's not that huge. And so that whole thing of then, okay, well, how do I become more cross-generational during this time of life? And goes to a startup young families church. Okay, so how does he do that? Well, as we're saying this, he goes, well, I could walk across the street to Friendsview Manor, which is a retirement center across the street from his college, and meet those people. So that wasn't something that I came up with. It was something that in our conversation was prompted and was his solution. So all that to say is that God's using this, God is energizing the solutions in you for the things that he has for you to do. So let's look at this first tool, this diagnostic tool. This formula, D times V times F is greater than R. Dissatisfaction, vision, ease of first steps must be greater than resistance. Oh yeah, well, that's great, Margaret. That's a lot of words. Let me give you an example that might help and just fit the things into it. I'm the third of four children. And when I was on the way, my family lived in a two-bedroom, one-bath house on a farm with a 10-year-old son, a 6-year-old daughter, and one on the way. So can you just consider my mom's dissatisfaction with adding a third child into that tiny house in the Central Valley with 105 degree summers, and right? So the dissatisfaction, let's start at the resistance. Up to that time, there wasn't enough pain to cause the change to happen, okay? The dissatisfaction started because mom was like, we got a growing family here that we need to take care of. We're not going to all fit in this house. And my dad's incredibly handy, as you have seen the amazing evidences of, which we'll talk about that. I'll tell you some of the crazy things that my dad has done. And then the vision was, we can't stay here. We need to, this isn't sustainable. And then, but what are the ease of the first steps? Okay, and it isn't just what are the first steps, it's the ease of the first steps, okay? Now, let's just brainstorm this. That's the scenario. What would you do? What is something that could be done? It's not your circumstance, so what's something that could be done? Add a room, add on, what else? Move? They lived on a farm, so, and you could move, right? What else? Right, convert a chicken coop to a bedroom. That's fantastic. Dad had already converted the back porch into the bathroom because there wasn't one of those when they moved in. So yes, conversion, yes. What else? Right, those are the ones that kind of come, right? So this is what my dad did. He was talking to a friend at church, and the friend said, we're gonna build a new house. Dad said, can I buy yours? And he said, yes, you can. So Dad hired a moving company, and they moved the house from that farm to this farm and jacked it up on those things. Dad built the foundation on underneath it and set the house down. And then he started to remodel it to fit his growing family. And he did it because my dad is Scotch to the core, because that was the cheapest way to do it. And it was a workable plan to actually, it was actually easier to do that than it was to add on. And the moving was complicated because he needed to be on the farm. So the solutions come in ways that we don't even expect them to, but they're complicated because we have that dissatisfaction, vision, and the ease of the first steps. What do I know that will inform, and what and how do we do something? So let's take that formula and think about one of these or a specific thing that you have that we could run it through. I really wasn't going to talk too long, and I have way more, but I really want to do one. What's one that we can work on? Who let us work on one? One real thing. Can't be too big, because we can't solve it all in 5 minutes. Duh. Okay, we'll come back to what? Go ahead, Kelly. Yes, actually, that's fantastic. Did you hear what she said? Take one. So let's call one thing out. What should we do here? I'm going to do this one, best fit of ministry, because all of us deal with that all the time, right? So say it again, Kelly, what you said. Take whatever those steps are, break them down into mini steps, so that whether you do that with a list, whether you do that with however that works for you of doing it. I'm a shotgun person, so I write it all down all over everywhere. I don't necessarily organize it by time, but if organizing by time is the way it works for you, then that's how you did it. Do it. Plug it into a slot here or there. And then what Kelly said was, it's the ease of the first steps. She assigned a time to each of those things by saying, I'm going to do one of them this week. I'm going to do one of them this week. And maybe for her, it's applications for college. Maybe for Caleb, it's, I really am going to do the first part of this term paper that I have to get done. Or this, you probably aren't doing term papers because you're doing film. I really do need to get this photography piece taken care of. And here's my deadline. An interesting thing about deadlines. My son he took a class in grad school where in 10 weeks, and he went to a school that had quarter system, they took a product from inception to market in 10 weeks. And the professors said, so these are the things that you will do in these 10 weeks. And at week six, he said, that thing that I gave you to do at week eight, it's now due next week. Okay, so what he did was he moved the deadline up a week. He had told them all along, these are the things you have to have done by this time. But this one, at week six, he moved it up to week seven. And he said, I'm doing this intentionally because deadlines are our friends. When we move deadlines up, it causes things to fall off. Caleb's shaking his head. Causes things to fall off that are superfluous. Deadlines help us to look at what isn't necessary and take care of what is absolutely essential. It moves us beyond tyranny of the urgent into actually taking those first steps of getting this stuff done. Mom and Dad, we're on a timeline. The baby's gonna be born. What are we gonna do with her? Are we gonna stick her in a box in the middle of the room? Actually, they didn't get the house done until I was like 3 or 4 months old. So yeah, they did stick me in a box in the middle of the room. And you know, I don't remember, and I'm no worse for the wear, right? So the dissatisfaction that we have will grow in us. All of the pieces work together. We have to have the vision. And sometimes vision is one of the hardest ones to find because we need to sort it out. What is that thing that I'm going to? What is that? I know it's kind of out there, but I'm not sure. We're at that point right now. Retirement is coming, and we don't know what we're going to. In transitions, there's always that time of motion where you're going to something. You don't always know what it is, but there's also that letting go of what was. And in order to get to the what is, you always have to let go all the way. You're smiling. You understand that, right? Okay. What questions, thoughts, things pop in your mind on that? And then we're going to go to powerful questions. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And fitting that into, so the point is that we're seen differently following any kind of a transition. You're now seen as a college student. You're still seen as high school students. You are missionaries who are home. I'm not sure what's happened. Church planting. Okay, so there's that. Right? And so there's new labels that go on to us, and then we sort out, well, what is our vision for this time? And it takes a while to sort out what that vision is. And then we move through it and to it as the dissatisfaction grows. And it's easy for the dissatisfaction to grow when we viewed ourselves as one thing, and then we're in transition going to the next thing. So how do we go back to Scripture and figure out what does God have for us to be, to do, to think? A lot of it is what he said this morning. We are beloved of God. Bottom line, he loves us and desires to pour his grace out on us. Okay? Even in the dumb things that we do. Can I say dumb in the microphone? That's okay, right? And then, okay, so I've got this great vision of what I want to do in retirement, and I know I'm moving there, so my dissatisfaction is the timeline, and it's moving there. But what are the first steps, and how do I take those first steps? Right? That's where what Kelly said is you break it down into pieces, or you move up the deadline, or what works for you in those first steps. One of the things that works for me is I gotta have a plan. I have to figure out what has to be done before I can move. That's moving up, that's not even moving up the deadline. That's just like, okay, how do I sort this out for what is the order of the things that I need to do? But that's my way of thinking, and God's hardwired you to think in a certain way, and that's your way of thinking, and your way is right for you. The way we order things is good. It's how God made you. So I want to look at powerful questions before we're done. This is actually my favorite part. I don't even have time for it. Okay. Yes, Karen. Right. Absolutely. Where does the question is, where does faith come in to all of this? And faith, so the easy, the big answer, not the easy answer, the big answer is faith is permeates every step of it, every part of it. Faith doesn't say, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. That's not faith. That is somebody's agenda. Faith is, God, where are you in this? What do you want me to do? Are you transitioning me? And actually, that's a fantastic segue into the next section of powerful questions, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was absolutely the master of powerful questions. Powerful questions, and Karen, I don't want to shortchange that at all, because it is so foundational of how do I move. I was reading through Psalms one day, and there's in Psalms 95, it's also repeated in Hebrews, and I had read it in Hebrews, but I hadn't really read it in Psalms. And it says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. And I was stopped cold by today, if you hear my voice. Oh, that meant, that was like for now. And if you hear my voice, to me, that said, God is speaking. God is speaking into your situation, but I didn't have ears to hear it yet. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. And sometimes, I don't know about your job, sometimes he's saying, stay with it. And sometimes he's saying, it's time for you to cut that back or let go of it. So that listening to his voice is the part of what faith is in that, with every decision making and with every log jam breaking, every getting unstuck.
A couple years ago, we were in transition, and I'm looking at your DBFR. I'm just kind of throwing that in words of faith. As my family, D was very high.
It was huge dissatisfaction. Yeah.
And certain times doors were just not open.
Yeah.
And that can be frustrating, but at the same time, there's a lot of doors were open as well. And it certainly made the easy first steps for us a lot easier when we understood that God is in us and we believe. Sometimes it's a choice. I'm not saying.
Always it's a choice, Patrick.
Right.
That's.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly made it a lot easier to take those first steps when you can understand God is leading us somewhere, the door seems to be opening in this direction. And so we're going to keep following that, because wherever you're taking us, we know it's going to be good. It may not be easy, but it's going to be good. And frankly, my head hurts from banging on the door. So with a dissatisfactory high, it really helps with the lack of vision that God is doing.
That was fantastic of putting that into that formula and seeing how God was at work. The other piece that you alluded to was that it's not necessarily quick. We're not going to get this stuff solved in a one-hour seminar. You took months to go through that difficult agony.
Yeah. A few months.
Yeah.
The most, I think, is the famous scripture for faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. And I have always questioned about what do they mean by the substance of things hoped for. I understand about evidence. When you start seeing something's working out, your faith is encouraged, you know, or you are encouraged. But the substance, I don't know. I suppose it's, well, for me, if ever I'm going to make a change, I buy a book.
Okay, that's a,
I do something that has to do with education to find out about it.
Because you gain, we gain new knowledge, or we rework the knowledge we have.
I'm getting some, I don't know, something, but it isn't something I can touch. Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm going to go back and finish what we're trying to do so I can get out of here, get us out of here on time, and then we'll have that conversation. And a piece that's really helpful in what you said for all of us, for understanding what's holding us back, is to understand how we take in the vision growing and the ease of first steps. So you get a book, or you go to a seminar. I talk to people. I ask people that I know that have gone through this or have done this kind of thing. Other people go immediately to some kind of research. Or how else? How do you, when you're faced with what do I do next? What do you do? What did you guys do, Patrick? Okay. Uh-huh. But it was a first step that you could do, and that was some motion. That was getting the logjam going, getting the logjam unstuck. Sometimes it's that ease of the first step. Sometimes the first steps don't actually, we feel later on that they've accomplished nothing, and yet they are those germinating things that God uses us either to connect us with a person or show us a book or show us a seminar or have us meet somebody someplace where we are in order to get it breakthrough and get it going. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And don't you feel like that's what we gain from being here at Mount Hermon? We gain that encouragement from Scripture. We gain that. We gain the substance. We gain the knowledge of what we can build on. Melissa, what were you going to say?
What you're saying, that, you know, first step, we found our journey is consistently bring it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then our mind is set on what Christ wants us to do, and then we can be open for those
today,
people.
Today, if I hear your voice, right?
And looking for people that might be in the same situation for us,
yeah.
Pastors and church planners, you know,
yeah.
To talk to you.
Right. That's part of the vision. It's creating a mindset and an atmosphere, a personal atmosphere and environment of listening to God and of walking with Him through whatever it is that's coming up. And lots of times we don't even know what the stuff is that's coming up. One of the things that Jesus did consistently and constantly to bring that clarity, to force that clarity, to push people, to invite them, was He asked them questions. Listen to this question. this was to the blind man, to Bartimaeus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" To the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, sitting by the side of the road. What do you want me to do for you? That was so clear. It's Jesus, and he's there begging. What does he want Jesus to do for him? I mean, that's a very clarifying question for me. I feel like lots of times I just got my hand out for a handout, when really, Jesus wanted to transform his life. So Jesus did that. What do you want me to do for you? Or what about this one? Who do people say that I am? Or who do you say that I am? He brought it personal. Or what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Jesus was the master of powerful questions. So there's a couple things that powerful questions are not. And one of those, there's three of them. They're not, here's what you ought to do. Well, have you tried doing this? That's a good question, but it's not a forcing clarity question. It's a question with agenda. So with agenda or leading, and then the other is problem solving. One of my, half the people in my family are pilots and the other half are engineers. So they all come at things with a, so have you figured, have you done this? Have you, what about this? Are you going to do it this way? So we could, I like the new front steps. I already told him. Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. No problem. The kind of questions Jesus asked put it out there for people to force clarity without figuring it out for him, right? And that's what Jesus did with you, Patrick. He put it out there, and he walked along with you through the journey, even though there were just like so many painful things along in the way. And then once you get there to the new job or to the new school or to whatever it is, it's like, okay, well, now I still have more stuff that I need to get figured out now that I'm here. Okay, right? So since there are dots in here, I should give you what those things are. What is the purpose of powerful questions? What do powerful questions do? Gain information about self or situation. Promote personal discovery. Generate options. Uncover obstacles. Determine next steps. And forward motion questions, the discovery ones, start with what and how. They're open-ended, not closed, not able to be answered with yes or no. The discovery questions are what and how. How could we do this? How could we make this work? How could we work it out so that you guys could actually buy that place? How could we do that? What needs to happen in order for that to come to be? Okay? And boy, we did not need yes or no questions. We need an open-ended, wild, crazy, amazing something. And sure enough, God had that for us. And it's actually, Karen, it's the same with your job. What is God up to? How is this going to work? They're open-ended. They're not, should I stay in the job? Should I go out of the job? It's that, how do I discover this? And then the finishing actions are the who and the the finishing or the action questions are who and when. When am I going to do this? When are you going to apply for college, Kelly? When are you going to apply for, right? And part of that depends on what college you're choosing, because they have different deadlines, and what tests you've taken to get in there, and how much scholarship there is in that, in those essays that you've written and written and written. Do I remember this well, even though I'm a ways away from it? Yeah. Here's an interesting, another thing that powerful questions do is they dig under what's going on. I'm going to give you one more thing. I'm going to give you one more thing. And that is to, in order to break the logjam, to move through, and I love this. If I could tell you one thing that you remembered today, this would be it. Eliminate the word but and replace it with the word and. And is non-comparative. They're both conjunctions. The word but says, oh, that's a good idea, but the word and says, that's a good idea, and let's see how we can make that happen, okay? Pay attention to this just as you listen to people. When you're having a conversation with someone or listening to someone, they're talking away, or they say, well, I'd really like to, or la, 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 and they use the word but, you don't hear anything that they said prior to that and only what they hear after that. Keith, that's my husband. Keith, that was a really good sermon, but, right? Right? So that was a really good sermon, and here's what I got out of it. Or that was a really good sermon, but I only got this out of it. Wow, what a huge difference in that. So in your, and it's not just, I mean, that's a relational kind of thing. I want us to do that in how we think. That won't work. And my dad, my poor dad, he was, he said to me one time, you have a lot of ideas, and every now and then, one of them is good. Dad, I think just like you do, that's where they all came from. That was a great way of not squashing that, but of encouraging that thinking and creativity and conversation and that. So when I'd say to him, I want you to do this, and this is how I'm thinking it would work, he would say, because the engineer brain kicks in, right? And he would say, oh, yeah, I see that. That's a great idea. And then he would do it however he wanted it, which wasn't anywhere close to how I had it envisioned. But that's a whole other thing. Your homework assignment for some time is to read through the book of Mark and pay attention, underline, jot down the questions that Jesus asked to people. And see how they gave information, promoted personal discovery, generated options, uncovered obstacles, determined next steps. I was thinking through those things as our speaker this morning said the people that he was going to talk about this week. Leah, if you put Leah's story through that grid or through the formula, tomorrow he's going to talk about Ruth, how her story fits with that, okay? Think about these things in relationship to how it worked out, and then think about the powerful questions that Jesus asked. And I'm going to give you a copy of just these are powerful questions that, and one for Caleb, please. Just a list of powerful questions that might be interesting to you, if you'll pass them back to, that help get us unstuck. Okay, we have 3 minutes left. What was valuable for you personally from this today? A takeaway for you.
Clarity of vision is going to help a lot.
Clarity of vision.
Focusing on the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see what the goal is.
Mm-hmm. To what the goal is.
Yeah, the encouragement that deadlines are our friends.
Deadlines are our friends.
It can help us drop off the,
Superfluous.
I love that.
Superfluous. It means that extra stuff. Awesome. Being able to see the first step instead of all of it at once. What else? Andrea, what's your takeaway today? Oh, so good. That's Ephesians 2:10, if you need a reference for it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Excellent. Okay. What if I take my first steps in the wrong way? Yeah. Yeah, okay. First, Good, good. Patrick? Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Yeah. 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 Good. Kelly, do you need to run out the door? What are your takeaways?
The calm and trust that comes with having a vision and visualizing that vision. When I run, I can finish it because I see myself. I take it for granted that I will finish it. Doing applying that to other parts of my life.
Awesome. Caleb? Awesome. The questions. Yeah. 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 Way cool. Patrick and Kelly, you both just called up something really interesting about how each of you is hardwired. Kelly, everything that you said had to do with finishing, getting it done, tying it up, visualizing a finish. And Patrick, you said, I don't like the deadlines. I like it to be able to flow through it. The open, so you are hardwired. One is hardwired for closure is such a good thing, and the other one is hardwired for openness is such a good thing, because that's how we make progress. One makes progress in closure, one makes progress in openness. One of the reasons that comes out to me so much is because my husband and I are polar opposite, and when we learned that, it probably saved our marriage, because it was like, oh, it's right. So just in that we are hardwired differently, and God is at work in how he put us together. Oh, such good stuff. God, thank you for the fantastic stuff that you have put together for our lives. By faith, you saved us. And then you have all these amazing things for us to do as we live and walk by faith with you continually. May we be encouraged in our day, and bless us for this time together. Amen.